Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy connecting the light. My guest today is Molly Harris, who after the death of her husband Russ was inspired to write a book called Be Grateful for the Shade, and she refers to it as a story of ultimate love and the discovery that physical death cannot separate souls that are bound by unconditional, unending love. So, happy to have you on the program, Molly. Perhaps the first thing you could do is explain what the significance is of the title.
Yes, hi Mike, how you doing? The significance of the title is my husband had cancer and was battling it, and he had overcome a lot, being on life support and everything, and we thought he had made it through and was going to get better. Then we were planning for a bright future and everything, and then the doctor came and said that the cancer had returned in my work time. So I began to cry, and I told my husband, Russ, that I felt like there was a dark cloud hanging over our heads, and with death facing him, his reply was, be grateful for the shade.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a courageous, you know, moment there.
Indeed, yes. Now, I gather that prior to this event that started you on your spiritual quest, that you had a Roman Catholic background. How did you change from that background to your present understanding? Indeed, I suppose it begs the question, were you a very strong Roman Catholic?
No, I was not. I came from a Catholic background with my family and was Methodist too. The teachings did not set in with me, and also did not really teach me about, you know, death and life after death, and it's, you know, where we go and what we do after this life.
Yeah.
So it was more of a family thing, and I it did not set right with me.
Right.
So when this happened with my husband, obviously, and he crossed over, it propelled me on a quest to find answers.
Yes, I gathered you expressed it as being one where you wanted to know what happened after death. So you evidently were always convinced that that wasn't exactly the end, that there must be some continuation.
Yes, I always believed there was some continuation, but we've never got any clarity, or nobody's ever, you know, to my knowledge, explained where we actually go or anything. That was always in my family a kind of a hush-hush thing. And so with
yeah.
this, I really wanted to see where my husband was.
Yeah. Now, I gather that when you went on this quest, that you searched lots of books about religion, etc. So what I wondered was, what books in particular did you find helped you to a greater understanding?
Well, I found actually some of the newest discovered Gospels and things, the Gospel of Philip and Thomas and Mary Magdalene and everything, and I found those because they brought questions up about some of the religious teachings, and so it kind of really opened doors to me to want to know more and to seek more.
Yeah.
And so those were the catalyst of me knowing that there was something more, because some of the stuff did not resonate with what was in, you know, the Catholic teachings.
Yes. Right. Now, I believe there was a period in your relationship when you and Russ came very close together. Would that have been the time when you identified yourselves as sort of soulmates?
Yes. When I first met Russ, it was one of those, like they have in storybooks, kind of those magnetic attraction type things.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, since what we call everybody says falling in love, we became, you know, best friends, husband and wife, soulmates and everything. We were around each other 24/7. And it developed into a very, very close bond and close relationship. And sure, we had, you know, ups and downs like any married couple, but we chose to stay together, and we always knew we were meant to be together. We just had a knowing.
Right, now, just for the listeners' benefit, I'll tell them that Russ fell ill in August 2003 and died in January 2005. Now, Russ told you about a week, I believe, before he passed on, that someone called his name. But would you like to explain what actually happened there?
Yes, he was had finally come home after about a year and a half of fighting the cancer and being on life support, in and out of the hospital and other things happening. And he was home on hospice, and about a week before he actually crossed over, he had told me that he had heard somebody calling his name. And he had woken up because he was sleeping a lot. And, of course, it was only me that were taking care of him. So I kind of knew what it meant. But when you're in that situation, you know, I didn't really pay much attention to it. And it happened a week before he actually crossed over. So in retrospect, you kind of look back and know what it was at the time. But so that's kind of where that was at. And they say that's, you know, family coming at the time of helping you over.
Right. Do you think that Russ actually knew the meaning of it? Did he sort of realize that it was a call to come home, as you might say?
You know, I he was very courageous and strong, stronger than me through the whole thing. And I think he might have known, but he did not really reflect on it at the time because we just kind of continued daily life up until the end, basically, with the, you know, giving him what he could eat and things like that. So we really didn't reflect because we both weren't totally sure what happened. As he said, I'm not sure how this death thing works, you know. And so I don't think consciously that he, you know, really knew what it was.
And so
he just continued life on a daily basis.
Right. Now, like a number of people after his death, you obviously tried to find some way of linking with him, and you had readings. Tell us about the occasion when Russ finally came through. And I believe on top of that, you can actually feel his presence there.
Yes, I don't remember what it was, but before Russ got sick, I think it was like a year, he started watching John Edwards on TV and his Crossing Over show. And Russ really never watched those kind of shows, and I kind of found him secretly watching it, and then together we started watching it. And so after Russ crossed over, I decided that was kind of a connection, so I would go try to have readings and see if he would come through. And 3 days after he crossed over, he came through on a chat line on the internet, which absolutely, I was just, you know, so happy about that. And that kind of, actually, it was good in the one thing I communicated, but in the second thing it was I wanted to talk to him more because it was real short. But the reading did spark my interest and even more so in finding answers. And I could feel his presence, and I tell people how I do that is now if they have a loved one that they're really bonded to, what they need to do is go in the same room and close your eyes and you feel their energy. And that's actually how I felt Russ's presence was.
Yeah.
I could feel his energy. And so I know when he's in the room with me.
Yeah. Since originally you say in the book that Russ didn't really believe in crossing over, but was that something of a shock to you at the time, or did you just accept it straight away?
You know, he believed in it, but he didn't, you know, he wasn't sure of how it all worked type of a thing. And so I wasn't shocked or surprised, because I knew, as much as we loved each other and wanted to be together, we didn't want to part, but I knew that somehow we would figure a way to communicate. How it all worked on this side, I wasn't sure. So I even in my grief, I knew he was present. You know, it was almost as if, like I said, I had my eyes closed and I knew he was in the room. You just know it. So it was not really a surprise or a shock. It was a welcome thing. But like I said, each little step, the readings and him being present, actually made me want to figure out more where he was and how this whole worked, kind of a thing. So it was a good thing and a bad thing. But I do suggest people that are in grief, when they get to a certain point, to just, you know, research mediums and find some good ones, and get readings, because it does help.
Right. Now, in the course of your looking around, you made a very good friend with Alison Bowen. I trust I pronounced her name correctly. She was a numerologist who evidently helped you to some extent. How did that work for you? What did she actually do?
We met Alison Bowen on a chat line. And, you know, I usually don't get personally involved on chat lines and everything. I love talking on chat lines and discussing things. But something just felt right with her. And a while after I met her, she did a numerology reading for me. And a couple times when we emailed each other afterwards, she had been opening up spiritually, and my husband came to her with messages. And so we became, you know, to where she was opening up spiritually besides being a numerologist. And so I would talk to her. It was nice for me because it was somebody who I could talk to in a spiritual sense, and not have everybody think I was crazy, you know.
Yeah.
So she started doing soul readings and things for me, and it helped me tremendously to really open my mind, and also to have somebody, like I said, to talk to spiritually. And that's a big thing, is when you start opening up, if you have a friend that will unconditionally talk to you about that and not, you know that you're not going crazy when you do start having communications from your loved ones.
Yeah. Now, in your book, you talk of letting go of our loved ones. Are you saying that in the sense that some people do grieve for a very long time, or do you simply mean that it's a matter of letting them sort of go their way, whether you understand it or not?
Well, you know, I don't believe in the old wives' tale or whatever that religions put out, that we have to let our loved ones go. And letting go to me seems so final, and that you're never going to see them again. And so I think that's a bad choice of words. I believe that our loved ones can help us in our life. They cannot direct our life, because that's our free will. I believe they can assist us, just like a guide, and my husband has become one of my guides. So I don't like that letting go. It seems too final. I believe, you know, I still talk to my husband. He's still around. I communicate with him on a telepathic level. So that's too much of a final wording for me.
Yes. I guess it can have some meaning for someone who hasn't your understanding of the spiritual level, because if they spend, say, further years of their lives on Earth and allow the passing to affect them unduly, I guess you could say they're not getting on with their lives, are they?
Well, and that's true. You know, I believe that they have to get on with their lives. And in the not letting go a week or so before my husband crossed over, he made the statement to me, you know, I told him, what about us? And he made the statement that we are going to continue our relationship just in a different way. And so we are continuing our relationship. It's a long-distance relationship. And that's, so I'm not really letting him go, but I'm living my life. It's hard to explain, but there does come a point where some people who are heavily grieving have to let go to a certain extent in order to get through that grief, I believe. So it's a catch-22, and everybody's different. You know, I still have my bad days that I wish he was physically here, but I understand, you know, that this is a drop in the bucket to eternity, so, you know, I'll live my life out, and I look what I have for to go home to.
Right, yes. Now, part of the aim of your book is to give people insight into communication from heaven about life and death, and you're promoting the idea, I think quite correctly, that our loved ones are never gone, truly in that sense. Now, why do you think that love is such a powerful energy between people?
Well, my opinion is that love is the grandest and the greatest experience that one can ever have. It's hard to explain. You know, what comes closest, I guess, is in our language, is nirvana. And I believe two people who are individual beings, but who are actually joined, my opinion, as one soul, the magnetic pull is really great. And I believe a soul is actually split into two and becomes two individuals, and they help each other in becoming, you know, the greatest, you know, in evolving over periods of lifetime. And I just believe it's a powerful energy, and I believe it's the greatest energy that there is.
Yes. Now, you made a comment there that leads me to believe, correctly I think, that you do believe in reincarnation. Is that correct?
I do believe in that, yes.
Yes.
I believe that you come back as many times as you want to evolve your soul and to grow. And I believe my husband and I, as I have said in the book, have been together numerous lifetimes, and we're helping each other. And there comes a certain point where I believe that this is my last time that I have to evolve, to incarnate.
Then there
comes a point where I believe that you can or cannot, you know, whatever you choose to do.
I don't know how it all works.
But.
Yeah. I think the understanding of reincarnation comes with the idea that there is a point when you evolve where you no longer have need to carry on experiencing on the earth. And they talk about coming out of the wheel of rebirth. Now, you believe that love is eternal and that our loved ones never leave us. But what I found interesting was that you said it also applies to animals. Give us a few of your thoughts about that one.
I honestly believe that it also applies to animals. I believe animals are you know, assist us in evolving. I don't know exactly quite how it works with animals, but I do know that our animals that have crossed over are with my husband. And I believe there is no separation. I'm still researching, you know, where our spirit, you know, where the spirit world is, and hopefully that will be my next book. But I honestly believe there is no separation. I have not figured out quite how to explain it in terminology that we can understand on, you know, in this dimension. But yes, I do believe the animals are have souls, and they go to the same place that we go to. So
right, it certainly appears that animals that we have loved seem to be attached to us every bit as people are.
Oh, yes, I agree totally with that.
Yeah. I think it is the love that is the energy that creates the link. Now, do you feel, having expressed agreement with the idea of reincarnation, which must carry, logically, karma with it, that anyone helping you from spirit, such as Russ is helping you, would you believe that that would be interfering with your free will?
I believe that when in the spirit world they're not allowed to interfere with our free will. I think they're just like angels. They can assist, or spirit guides, they can assist, but it's us that makes the ultimate decision.
Yeah.
And so I do not believe that they are allowed to do anything that will take us off our path. Now, my husband has helped me find things and things like that. That's different.
Yeah, yeah.
But I honestly believe they're not allowed to help us, you know, deviate off of our path.
Right.
Unless, you know, it's an accident or something like that. But, I think they actually, them being able to communicate is part of our path, is part of our opening up. So I don't believe in the old thing that you're playing with the devil and everything else if you communicate with your loved ones who are in spirit. I honestly don't believe that. I believe that that's part of your path. If you're opening up spiritually, that you can communicate with them.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Now, a lot of people who fear death, I know you don't anymore, but
no.
Why do you think that is? Is that generally speaking just a fear of the unknown?
Yes, I believe that. I honestly believe that we just have not been taught enough about our next journey in life. I believe that we lose our memory when we come here, and so that we can better handle this life in this dimension. I believe that we need to research and study the afterlife more, and we won't be so afraid of it. I believe it's just another, when you go to another country or something, you kind of research where you're going, and I believe that's the same parallel. And I just believe that we've kept everybody in the dark too long about the afterlife, and I believe that if people understood it more, there would not be as much fear, and I believe there would be more love on this planet.
Yes, I agree. Now, in the course of your trying to establish some truth about Russ's passing over and making a contact with him, you must have had experience of different mediums. So, in your experience, how reliable do you think mediums are when they when they try and contact the other side?
I believe they're very reliable. My suggestion, how I came across the mediums that I went to, I researched mediums and went to their websites and went to the big name mediums' websites who were no longer doing readings and see who they recommended. And you really have to research because there's some good ones out there and there's some bad ones. I've been to some that cost $30 and I've been to some that cost over $1,000. And price does not make the medium. If anybody is interested, they can email me at my website, and I'd be happy to give them names of the mediums that I've been to, and very accurate. So.
Right. Now, you said that in spite of the outer appearance, that is, I suppose, the illness that Russ was experiencing, that his passing was easy, and I believe he later told you that most of the time he was not connected to his body, he was out more than in. Did he expand upon that? Can you give us any more information as to what he was doing?
My information in mediumship reading and just the feeling through those and in communication mentally with Russ was that he was kind of he was not disconnected from his body yet, right before his passing. And so he was in the in-between world, wherever that is. I haven't quite figured that out, but, in the dimensions, I guess, that we believe, I believe that we wait until our body actually completely ceases to exist, to shut down. His passing was easy because, Russ was just that kind of courageous person that took whatever the good Lord dished out to him. And so he was not afraid of dying. I think his biggest fear was leaving me and being separated from me. And he found out that he was not actually separated.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting that once you started to make contact with Russ, that he told you that you had lessons to learn without him, and that it literally would force you to find your own divine love. What did you think about that? Do you find that reason acceptable?
Yes, I do. You know, it's been over 3 years now, and, you know, I didn't accept it in the beginning when he actually came through and said that. Of course, when you're under heavy grief, you don't accept much of anything. I accept it now as I look back and see what I've learned over the 3 years and where I'm going. And I believe that had Russ not died, especially the way he did with cancer, if he had been killed instantly in a car crash or something else, I believe, honestly, that I would have taken, I would not have learned what I've learned. I believe the way that he chose to leave this planet helped me in finding spiritual, the divine, or whatever anybody, whatever terminology you want to put on it. But it propelled me into my own spiritual quest to realize that there's more unseen than can be seen, and that we do not die. We are eternal, unlimited beings, and this is just one little bus stop, I guess, in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
But yes, I do accept that there were things I had to learn without him.
Yeah. Right. Now,
not that I don't like him not being here, but...
No. Right. Now, the expression divine love, is it for you the love of God or the Creator, or is it simply unconditional love where you love every other form of life? Or is it even different from that?
Yeah, I believe it's a combination of both, honestly. Because I believe that when you start, you know, I love Russ, and Russ loved me unconditionally, and I believe that this is for me to, not that I don't love people, I love people. I believe it's just learning how connected we all truly are, even though, you know, I always believed that somehow we're connected, but I did not have a quest to find those answers, I guess.
Not enough.
And so, I believe that it's a combination of both, to learn who our Creator is, and to learn that there is no separation between anything. We're all from the One.
I totally agree with you. Now, the subject that will interest a lot of people, I'm sure, is what heaven is really like. And Russ told you that it is a real place, and I guess because you're not encumbered by a physical body, he said you could get around easier. So, what could you tell our listeners about what heaven is really like?
Well, from what I believe and what I understand through communications with Russ and my research, you know, into life after this, I believe that the spirit dimension is as real and as solid of a world as this is to spirit. I do not believe that it consists of dense matter like it is here. My belief is that you can get anywhere in the spirit world just by thinking of it, and you're there. And I think that's what his thing, what his meaning was about getting around easier. You don't have to take a car, but you can. I believe that the spirit world is created just by your thought, and that is why we actually come to this planet, is because our thoughts take longer to manifest here than they do in the spirit world. So we learn more, I believe.
Yes. No, I think.
But that's what he means about getting around easier, and that's not fair.
Yeah. We'd all like to be there, I think.
Yeah. Think of how much money we'd save in gas.
You certainly, I think, learned a lot in, I guess, what is a comparatively short period. He told you that once he passed over, I mean, bearing in mind he suffered this severe illness, that he was in perfect health. So one guesses everybody, once they passed over, is in the same condition. Did he tell you any more about that aspect of passing over?
No, he just jokingly tell me in one reading that he was better looking and he was perfectly healthy and,
yeah,
and not to get too jealous, and I told him to stay away from all the angels, but so he still has his humor. That's the good thing.
Oh, that's lovely. Yes, yeah, of course.
But yes, I honestly believe that we are restored because we are not in a physical matter body, and therefore our spirit is always healthy. It's just when we inhabit a physical vessel is we take on fears and everything else that creates disease in our body and ill health.
Yes.
So yes, everybody I believe is restored.
Great, yes. Now, I understand that when people pass over, there's normally a place that is prepared for them, which is from their own consciousness. In other words, if you lived at a particular place which you loved, in your mind, that although you wouldn't know you've chosen it, that would be the place you would move to in the spirit world. Now, did Russ ever mention anything about that? Is he anywhere that you recognize?
Yes, he, several times he came through doing things in spirit world that he loved to do and that we loved to do, and he said that he was at our, you know, the place that we always dreamed about building, like the house with animals and kids and everything running around.
Yeah.
So yes, he has come through golfing and camping and he used to fly a plane, and so he's having too much fun up there, I believe.
Yeah, it sounds like holiday time, doesn't it?
Yeah. But with what he went through, he deserved it, so.
Yes. I think we definitely all want to go there.
Oh, absolutely. I want to go where he's gone, but it's not my time yet, so.
Yes. I mean, just as a point of interest here, I have a psychic friend who communicates with people that have passed over, and he told me that in some of the regions, people are actually living in houses that they lived in, say, 80, 90, 100 years ago, and they passed over a long time ago, but they're still living in their sort of old places. There seems to be no reason for them to change, or as we might say, modernize, although I guess modernization is really catching up with modern technology. I mean, in spirit, you don't need to modernize, do you, truthfully?
No, I don't believe so. I believe you can do, be who and do what you want to do. And you create your own realities in heaven, whereas with just a thought. That's my belief. And I believe that
it takes
longer to manifest.
You're totally correct
about
that.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. Now, you say that Russ communicates with you and you literally hear him in your head, and he says there's nothing he does not know about you. Don't you find that a bit worrying?
When there's unconditional love, no, but it's like, okay, wait a minute. I don't know everything about him yet, so that's not fair. But no, he communicates in my head, and how that works is, I know, I feel his presence, like I told you when you close your eyes. I can feel his presence, but it's a different feeling of a presence inside your head, and it's hard to explain. And I'm not schizophrenic or anything like that. I hear his thoughts, and he communicates to me with thoughts.
Right.
And I know it's not my thoughts. And also, the thoughts come about as a personality, like his personality, if that makes any sense.
For people trying to
decipher communications with their loved ones. It actually comes through with personality, too. And I hear them in my head. It's not like I hear voices.
No.
It's just like you're daydreaming kind of thing.
Mm.
But yes, he says there's nothing he doesn't know about me, and the good part about that is at least he still loves me the same way. So he knows all my faults. The ones I never told him about, that's not fair.
No, it can't be too bad then. Now, something that probably would puzzle some people, and perhaps you can explain how this comes about, is the fact that you cannot lie to another person in heaven without them knowing. Now, what can you tell us about that one?
Well, he made that statement in one of my readings, and you know, I'm not sure exactly how that all works. I think he said it more as a way of his personality coming through, but I honestly believe a loved one will not lie to you. And I believe everybody is more open and honest in the spirit world because you can, you know, read people's minds and thoughts more so than when you're in a physical vessel. And so I think it was more of his personality coming through because he was quite a jokester. So, but I honestly believe they can't lie anyway because it's just, I think that's one of the, you know, the laws of the spirit world.
Yeah. But I guess that if you're meeting people in spirit, say people that have obviously gone on before you, and you've had incidents or things have happened, when you come to discuss it with them, it's perhaps nice to know that you can only really tell each other the truth about what happened, and you can't cover it up.
Yes. No, I agree with that, and I believe... I believe how you would distinguish a lie is if it was a negative thing or something like that. But, you know, it's the same way as if you're in a physical vessel. If you have unconditional love for a person, you can, the energy, you can tell if somebody's lying. At least, you know, I can. And so I believe it's kind of the same way, but in the spirit world, but to a greater degree.
Yeah.
I don't agree with you. Like it is here in the physical vessel, so.
Yeah. Now, why did Russ urge you to get into meditation?
Well, I'm, numerology-wise, I'm a very have a lot of energy in my personality. It's hard for me to actually sit and meditate, but he wants me to learn how to do that, and I believe just to quiet myself down and to learn more how to communicate with him. You know, I do that not as often as I should, and I still feel him even without the meditation, but he urged me to do that just to be able to communicate more with him.
Well, I think it's a good recommendation for anyone, because if you're able to get into that different level where you can center within yourself, I would think that must be very good for your health, and it's beneficial. It certainly can't do you any harm.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's very beneficial. Meditation is just, and it's not the, you know, the crossing your legs and sitting out with your hands. I believe meditation could be anything from, you know, planting flowers or doing things like that. So,
yes.
But just to sit and relax and calm down, and it has helped me to center myself and to, you know, to calm down and feel him more, too.
Yes, I think it's very good for that. Now, I don't know how many strange things have happened to you since Russ passed over, but you must tell us the story about your mother's Irish rosary, which disappeared after her death and then turned up several months later, I gather.
Yes, about 6 months before my husband crossed over, my mom came to visit us, and she was coming to see my husband, and we live in northern Arizona, which is about 7,000 feet, so the air up here is kind of thin. She was having trouble breathing, and 2 weeks after she came to visit us, she went to the hospital because of her hard breathing problem, and we found out that she had lung cancer, and they put her on life support, and she had amongst her things an Irish rosary. And I would take it to the hospital when I would visit her and wear it around my neck and let her hold it and everything. But and then when she was on life support, I'd put it in her hand. Well, the night that we turned off life support on her, I laid it in her hands, and her husband was there from Illinois. And I could not stay that night because I had to get home to my sick husband. And so I told him, I said, if something happens to my mom, I'll be back in the morning, but if something happens during the night, you know, make sure you get all her things and the rosary. He said, okay. Well, she crossed over late that night, about 11 o'clock, and I was at home. And her husband left directly from the hospital, which is 35 miles away from where we live, and went back to Illinois. So he never came back to our place or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And weeks went by, and his daughter from previous marriage called and wanted to know if there was anything that I wanted of my mom's things that she was going through. And I said, well, I would love the Irish rosary that she had bought in Ireland on her trip to Ireland, and that was one of her favorite things. I said, if you know,
yes,
your dad must have it. If something happens to him, you know, let him keep it. If something happens to him, please send it to me. She says, okay. So he called about a week or so after that and said he did not have the Irish rosary. So I thought, well, maybe the hospital had it. So I called the hospital. The nurses didn't have it. Security didn't have it. Nobody had it. I called my brother, who we actually handled my mom's affairs, and he, everything that was at the hospital was at the mortuary, and he had picked it all up, and her remains, her cremation remains, and I asked him if the rosary was in there, and he said no. And so a little while after that, I was walking through our driveway, and here in the driveway was the rosary. And this,
right,
by that time, had been, you know, many weeks after she had crossed over. And so to me, it was actually a miracle finding that. And I think it was a prelude to help me with my journey and my quest to,
yeah,
actually,
yeah,
see an actual miracle. And it still blows me away to this day. And I still have the rosary.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, indeed. I gather Russ also helped you to find lost articles. Did he just simply tell you where to find them?
I would get a picture in my head. I lost my checkbook one time, and I got a picture in my head of where it was, and I went to that spot, and it was there, and the same thing. So, yes, he put pictures in my head.
Yes, yes. And I gather he did other things which were very significant to you, if not anyone else, that he sent you rainbows and sunflower seeds.
Yes, he did. He before he crossed over, I asked him to send me lots of send me things, and he, you know, send me rainbows, and he told me that he would send me lots of things.
Yeah.
He had sent me rainbows and sunflower seeds, and to not go into too much detail, I mentioned in more detail in the book, which
yes,
the significance of these happenings is that they're just, you know, things happen around the rainbows to where I know and I can feel his presence.
Right, yes.
And the significance of the sunflower seeds is that, you know, they're very spiritual because they grow towards the sun, which is actually light. And so he sends everything in threes because when we were together, the significance of the threes is that it is for I love you. And so he would do things in threes in our life together. So when he sends signs from the other side, it's normally in threes.
Hmm. Well, that's all very much proof that you were dealing with Russ, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I gather you also received communications from him through a friend, Alison, who had given you a soul reading and mentioned what I believe one might know as the Hall of Records. Can you tell us anything more about it? Where is it? How does it sort of function?
My belief in through the soul readings, I've done about three with Allison now, is it's a place in the spirit world where everything that has ever happened or will happen is stored. And it's accessed only by a person that has, you know, has opened up to do that. And you have to give them permission to access your records, because I believe there's gatekeepers there that protect those records. But it's your records, and you have to give them permission to access them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll certainly go along with that. Sometimes you can go to mediums who will tell you about previous lives, but I do believe, for the reasons you stated, that there is a limit put on what they can tell you. So I guess what is given is something to help you in this lifetime, maybe something that relates to where you are or what you're doing. But I like the idea that not just anyone can access your whole sort of period of lifetimes.
I agree with that, yeah.
Now, what I want to move on to, because time's flying by, we're having such an interesting interview here. I'd like to ask you about the spirit energy photographs, because I'll guess, well, in fact, I won't guess, I'll quote from your book here. You were using a digital camera, and I suppose the significance there is that we don't see these orbs on ordinary cameras because of, the different principle involved. And you found orbs in the photographs, and you've come to the conclusion that this is spirit energy in action. So, do you believe that each orb you see is an actual being in spirit?
I do. I believe it's our loved ones. I believe it's all spirit energy beings. It could be animals. It could be nature beings. I believe that the spirit orbs or the spirit energy, most of mine are actually moving, in what I call in action, moving.
Yes.
I believe that that is the least amount of energy that spirit uses to access this dimension, because I believe it takes a tremendous amount of energy to manifest in this dimension. And
yeah.
So my research is that digital cameras have a CCD array, which I'm not sure how scientifically it all works, but it's able to pick up the energy, spirit energy, on film a lot easier than the old cameras. And
yeah.
The old cameras can do it. And I have got some incredible pictures and some incredible video of spirit on my property. And I do believe that the pictures, some of the pictures in my book is my husband, and some are angelic beings and animals and things like that. I believe it's
right.
A combination of a lot of different spirit energy.
I think at this stage it might be appropriate, since you've mentioned videos, and of course there is your book which we're talking about, if you gave our listeners your website address or any other information that would help them to find all the details.
Yes, my book is, of course, Be Grateful for the Shade, and my website is www.mollyrharris.com. HARRIS.com. And anybody, interested in the book or talking with me about spirit orbs or about grief or anything like that, just drop me an email and I'd be more than happy to talk to anybody. I'm trying to get out the message that we are eternal beings. There is no end. Death is just a doorway into another part of life. That's part of my main message, and to help people through grief, because I did have dark nights of the soul. And there were times when I did not want to go on anymore on this planet. And so, and I welcome anybody to email me or contact me at www.mollyrharris.com.
Right. That's fine. Your email address is presumably on the website.
Yes, it is. Yeah,
that's fine. Okay, so they know where to find it. In reading your book, I found one or two expressions that you use, which I thought were, because I had an expression of saying out of the top drawer. I love the energy that they carry. And you spoke in one part of coming out of the darkness into the light.
Yes, and that's exactly what I did. With my spiritual journey, I came out of the darkness of depression, it's a hurt that is hard to explain. It's not a physical hurt, it's an emotional, mental, spiritual hurt. But in my quest to find where my husband had gone, I am now emerging into the light.
yes, indeed. And you also have an expression which I suppose is pretty obvious now we've been speaking for a while, because this would fit in with what you found out. And that is, you said, we are beings of a powerful God force and we are eternal beings. I think that's so very true.
Yes, I honestly believe that.
Yes. I love the one where you said, and I, this must be an original saying, I think, grow your soul, not your possessions.
Yes. And that's what we're here for. We don't take it all with us. I believe what we accumulate on this planet and what we do on this planet are just tools to grow our soul. Obviously, if my husband is in heaven enjoying, you know, camping and everything else, it's available in heaven. And once people realize, and I believe that we research and delve into life after this physical death, that people won't be so, you know, there'll be more love on this planet. We won't be so greedy. We won't be so fearful to have it all now. Because I believe those are all just tools to help us grow our soul.
I totally agree with you there as well. Getting back to the idea of possessions, I suppose the fact is apparent to everybody, whatever their beliefs, is you can't take anything with you.
Yeah. Darn.
So, we've got to have something to live down here, but some people who who are very materialistic seem to have their core set on gathering as many possessions as they can, to the point of, I suppose, where money is concerned, having more than you can ever use, which does seem a pointless exercise to me.
Yes, yeah. No, I agree with you there. That's definitely.
Yeah. Now, Molly, we've got about 2 or 3 minutes left, and I'll have to take the last minute to introduce the details of my guests for next week.
Okay.
So I'm just going back a little bit to something I read in your book that we've got time for you to tell us about. And that is, Russ appeared to your brother in a dream and asked him to get you a Valentine's gift. Tell us briefly what happened there.
Yes, Russ came to my brother in a dream and asked him specifically to get a specific kind of chocolate that I liked to give to me on Valentine's Day, and my brother recognized it was more than just a dream, which was really wonderful. So he did get the Valentine's gift, and it was just another, you know, communication from heaven and another part of my quest to realize that we do not die.
Yeah. I think that was a lovely gesture on his part, and I do hope your book sales are very successful, because if I can put it this way, I think it's a very easy read book, in the sense that it's not too deep. It covers the facts as you found them to be, and I would think that would be very helpful, to say the least, to people that might be in a situation where they've recently lost a loved one. And having said that, even it can prepare people for that event, can't it?
Yes, it can. I believe it can help. You know, I want it to help people. I'm not telling them what to believe in. I just want them to open themselves up to search and research like I did. And I'm telling them my journey and how I did it. So.
Yeah. Well, I think that's wonderful. I'm going to have to say thank you very much now, Molly, for coming onto the program, because we've reached the last minute, because I have to finish at 5 minutes to the hour. So thank you very much for coming. We've never stopped talking, and it's been extremely interesting. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike.
Right, and for my listeners, I will say that next week, next Friday, I have a guest returning called Elaine Thompson. She is an international clairvoyant, medium. She paints star guides, angels, and spirit guides. And she's also very much involved in sound healing. So that should prove to be an interesting interview. She's got a new book out, which we're going to discuss, which is a follow-on to her earlier one, which we spoke about, called Voices from the Galaxy. So thank you, everyone, for being with me. Hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you'll be with me next week. God bless you all. Thank you.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone. and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.